The Old Testament reading is from Numbers chapter 11, verses 10 to 16, and then verses 24 to 29. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servants so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a suckling child to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors?' Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all these people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you're going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting, and have them take their place there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, and Joshua, son of Nun, Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, 'My Lord Moses, stop them.' But Moses said to him, 'Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them?'"
You're coming. How's it going today, guys? Man, I feel like everyone's happy today. That greeting was kind of fun. Everybody was greeting each other and smiling, and we've got college kids back and old friends back. It's kind of fun, huh? So today, Pastor Zach's going to talk to us about salt, which is not so fun. Has anyone ever tasted salt before? Just plain old salt? You've tasted it? Can I have any brave souls who'd be willing to taste just one little tiny kernel? Okay.
Well, we won't do that. Okay, raise your hand if you want to taste a little bit of just plain old salt. Okay, wait till I say go. Anybody else want to try? Okay, are you ready? Okay, go, taste.
I see a little bit of funny faces up here right now. Can you guys tell me, what did that taste like? Was it good or bad or what?
I think it was good.
Okay. What do you think?
It didn't taste like anything.
You want to taste a little more? Go ahead. Take a little bit. What do you think?
Tastes really sour.
Tastes sour. What were you going to say? It tastes really good, but...
It tastes good, but it's not really something that I'd... One whole pile on my plate.
Wouldn't be good if everybody was salty, right? If everyone tastes like salt. So we talk about salt being kind of bitter almost, maybe sour. And sometimes we have attitudes that are salty. Have you guys ever heard of a salty attitude before? That kind of means the same thing. It kind of means kind of negative, kind of sour about ourselves sometimes or situations. And sometimes... has anyone tried to ride a bike before? Raise your hand if you've ever tried to ride a bike before. Some of you have tried to ride a bike. The first time you guys rode that bike, how did it go? Good? Good?
Without training wheels, I actually refused to get on.
Oh, did you hear what Jack said? This is important. Say it again.
When they first took them off, I refused to even get on.
So it sounds like maybe Jackie had a salty attitude about riding a bike, huh? How about reading and writing? Have we ever tried, when you try to write or try to read and you just can't get it, and sometimes we get a little salty about that. Raise your hand if sometimes you have a hard time with a word or maybe a hard time writing your name when you first were learning, and it gets kind of tricky, huh? We get kind of negative sometimes about those things. Yeah, good. So I brought with me not only some salt, but I also brought some popcorn. And I really like popcorn with a lot of butter. Okay, so I poured some extra butter in this, all right? So I want you guys to, everyone just take just one or two pieces. Don't make a mess, just take a couple here, right? And tell me how does this taste? When you taste one, tell me how that is. You don't have to try any, but if you want to try one or two, that's okay. Grab one and tell me, what do you think? Go ahead and eat it. What do you think it tastes like? Is that good or bad?
Good.
Good, she said good. Good or bad?
Good.
Good. It's a little mushy because sometimes a little... Oh, hold on. Yep, yep. Can you have popcorn? Want popcorn? Sometimes a little too much butter can be a little overwhelming at times, right? And butter is kind of like... Butter is kind of like positive people, okay? So we add butter to our popcorn to make it taste better, right? You want any popcorn? Go ahead. But here's what's funny about butter and popcorn. So we have people that are kind of buttery, some people that are kind of positive, right? That help things taste a little bit better. But I'm going to try an experiment here, okay?
Salt on the popcorn? I'm going to try a little salt on the popcorn, Jack. Oh, that was a lot. I'm going to mix that up and see how this goes.
That was more than you wanted.
Yeah, that was more than I wanted.
So now taste a little bit of that. What do you think now with salt? It's not too much. It's a lot. But what do you think? Do you guys like salt on your popcorn? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think?
Awesome. How's that taste?
Really buttery and salty.
Is it good buttery and salty or bad?
Good.
Good. Right. You want some? Okay. Go for it, man. So sometimes even salty people or salt or negative attitudes. Right? When we add them to our popcorn, when we add them to butter and good and encouraging people, it can even taste better, can't it? So sometimes even when we maybe have bad attitudes, or remember last week we talked about how God didn't make us perfect. He made us imperfect, right? So maybe we don't think we're perfect for some situation like riding a bike or like writing. If we keep trying and we surround ourselves with positive people, then that can actually work out okay. Right? And then we're kind of surrounded by each other's love and God's love, and that saltiness isn't so bad. What do you think?
Good.
Yeah. So, my friends, before we are done here today, can you pray with me? Bow your heads, and we'll do an echo prayer. So, repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for giving us positive people to help us when we feel salty. Thank you for encouraging us to seek positive experiences with each other in your love. Amen.
The New Testament reading this morning is from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Are any among you suffering? Then they should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This reading is from Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. John said to them, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, 'Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." So ends the reading.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Father, may your Holy Spirit illumine our hearts to hear your word today. And may we see Christ in our lives through these words. Amen. When I was a kid, I had fond memories of going to my grandmother's house. And all the cousins would be there in the summer. And I'd spend a lot of time at my grandma's in the summer over in Aledo. And we used to have fresh tomatoes and fresh cantaloupe and corn on the cob. And I looked around one day. And I used to like ketchup, but I wasn't so sure about tomatoes. And my grandmother turned to me. She says, "Oh, baby, just put some salt on those tomatoes. You like that?" And I go, "Salt on tomatoes? What?" My dad put sugar on tomatoes. He put sugar on everything. And she also was putting salt on her cantaloupe, and I thought that was so peculiar. But I went ahead and tried it. And now I know today that the salt, I learned this in chemistry in class, but salt, sodium draws out moisture. It reacts with the H2O. And so salt brings out the potency of the natural flavors of what, if you put just a little bit of salt on it. So when I ate that tomato with the salt on it, it tasted more like a tomato than I realized. And the cantaloupe had a richer flavor too. So I thought that was interesting, and I was having that memory as I was preparing for the sermon this week. But salt brings out the best, most potent flavor. It brings out the genuineness of that food, what makes it distinctive. And Jesus, he had these words of comfort and encouragement. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Last week, we talked about how in James we learned that a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. And here we're listening to Jesus tell us to have salt in yourselves and not just make peace, but be at peace with one another. So that as we're making peace, we can also find ourselves, it's changing the way that we are, our being, of being at peace. And in the midst of this week, with the challenges and having to preach a funeral for someone who I had only met a couple times here at church, and yet still she was distinctive and made an impression on me. Like last Sunday when Kay came up to me and she asked me how my mother was doing because she'd been on the prayer list. There was a saltiness, a good saltiness to Kay, that she was distinctive, that you just knew she was Christian by the way she treated people. And so that is my prayer for us as a church, that we can continue to learn to make peace, but also to be at peace, to be at peace with ourselves, to be at peace with God, and to be at peace with one another. And to be at peace with ourselves and God with one another, despite our differences, despite our strengths and weaknesses, despite our preferences. But before Jesus said this, the disciples went back to the vomit of the competition. Last week, the disciples were arguing about who's the greatest. And this time, the disciples are trying to stop someone who cast out demons in Jesus' name because he was not following them. He was not wearing the same uniform. He was not adhering to the same discipline or the same doctrine. But yet he was doing these things in Jesus' name. And God was honoring this because the demons were being cast out. So he believed, this person, he or she, believed in Jesus' power to save, but he wasn't one of the disciples. And the disciples got a little salty about it, more salty of what you were talking about, Adrian. But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us." Whoever is not against us is for us. See, there are different churches in our community, but we are not in competition. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are in communion with one another through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, because we all have that same baptism. We all profess that same creed, like when we say the Apostles' Creed. We all profess the same death and resurrection that saves us in Jesus Christ. No, other churches, other denominations are not in competition with us, and we are not in competition with them. In fact, we must pray with them. And when we hear of good things happening in their churches or in our community, we need to praise them and support them. It's easy for us to have navel gazing as a church and be so focused on what we're doing, and we miss out on what God is doing around us and doing in ways that we might not be able to see, or doing in ways that we might not think to do because we're in a different denomination or a different tradition or a different type of church. Whoever is not against us is for us. And then Jesus says something even more peculiar that challenges the disciples. He says, "Truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward." To give someone a cup of water meant that it was all the hospitality that you had. Hospitality was very valued in this culture, and you wanted to bring out the best for your guests. But some people, all they had to give was a cup of water. That's all they had. And Jesus says, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. A few years ago, when I was living in Kentucky, we had some family come down and we went out to eat. And it was one of the hottest days I've ever experienced. It was probably 103 outside, right, Julia? And we were in Nicholasville, Kentucky. And we had some family down and we went to eat at the Pizza Hut. And it was so hot. And Nicholasville, Kentucky is about 20,000 people, but they have a pretty good homeless population. And there was one gentleman who, I don't know if he was vagrant or homeless or if he was an ascetic monk who'd taken a vow of poverty. But he's the guy that was around town waving the big sign and everything. And sometimes you'd see him pushing the cart, all his belongings and everything. And it was so hot. And this guy came into Pizza Hut. I don't think he had any money. And he came in and just sat down. And they were really busy. And the staff ignored him. They let him sit down. But they never asked him if he wanted anything to drink. They never asked him if he wanted any food. They just assumed he didn't have money. And I saw this man sitting there alone. No one talked to him. It was like he didn't exist. And I just felt this indignation in my heart, this injustice that I saw. And I just got up while the family was talking, and we were having a horrible time with the service. They got our order wrong, and so that somebody had an allergy or something, and they had to go bring it back. And so we were waiting like what might have been a half hour for our pizza that should have been there 20 minutes ago or something. And everyone was all caught up in that. And all I could focus on was the Holy Spirit just drew me to this man. I'm like, this isn't right. They didn't even talk to him. He's perspiring to wear buckets. And his big heavy beard just drained down. And he looked like he hadn't eaten in days. And I kind of shrunk. I was a little scared. But I walked over. I took my water over to him. And I said, here, you look really thirsty. And I look up. And then I looked at him. And I didn't notice it before. But he had a I Love Jesus on his hat. And I think he was Indian. I just looked at him and I saw Jesus. Even though it was the guy off the street, I saw Jesus just by giving him that drink. And he said, bless you, brother. And I wanted to invite him to eat with us, but I came back and I kind of got scared and I kind of regret not inviting him to come have dinner with us. But he had that drink of water, and then he went back out on his way and was back out on the streets. But I went home, and I searched my Bible, and I'm like, I know that this is in Scripture. And there it was. Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. In that moment, I was poor and scared, and all I could do in my hospitality to give him was that drink of water. And I was there, and we had the money, and we were there to eat. But I was the one who was poor. Jesus goes on to address the disciples, and he's continuing to address their self-deception. We talked about self-deception. Everyone else has a problem. I don't have a problem. And you're oblivious to the fact that you might be part of the problem or causing more problems. And Jesus called the disciples on it. He says, if any of you, my disciples, put a stumbling block before any of these little ones, whether he was talking about children who didn't have much status, or he was talking about these little ones who were, they believed in Jesus, but they weren't following Jesus. These little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if you had a great millstone hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Now, this is like spitting in the face of a good Jew, because a good Jew would be buried. They'd have a formal funeral. It was the pagans who were thrown into the sea. And having a millstone hung around your neck and then thrown in? That's like a cruel pagan punishment. He was calling them out and calling attention to the shameful acts and deeds that were looming in their heart from their self-deception and sin. That they thought they were better than those other people because they were following Jesus. That they had found the way and that they needed to catch up. That spirit of competition. But then Jesus turns and going from talking about this image of capital punishment, he goes to talk about present corporal punishment, discipline. Instead of it would be better for you, he says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell where there's unquenchable fire. He goes on and talks about, if your foot causes you to stumble, then cut it off, because it is better. Right now, it's better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. Being thrown into hell is a lot worse than being thrown into the sea with a millstone around your neck. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out, because it is better for you to have 2 eyes than to be thrown into hell. Jesus captured their attention there, because he wasn't talking literally about cutting off your hands and your feet and gouging out your eyes. But I wrestled with this text this week, and I started to think about, what do you mean, Jesus? And I asked the Holy Spirit to kind of help me build a bridge so that I could have something to share with you that would apply to us today. And this is what I've been wrestling with and learning with, and let me see what you think. Our hands. We work with our hands. Our hands are a symbol of our strength, what we can do. And our feet represent where we go, where we're headed, maybe what our plans are, and our eyes. Jesus had a lot to say about the eyes. How we see people, how we see ourselves, how we see the world. What kind of a perspective do we have? What kind of a lens are we looking through? How do we see people? Do we see people made in the image of God? Do we see people as our brothers and sisters? Or do we see them as problems to be fixed? Or do we see them as a lost cause? Or as we can't stand the sight of them? Are we judging people and playing the role of judge, jury, and executioner? See, Jesus is saying, are you with our hands? Are you relying on your own strength? Are you too proud to ask for help? Are you trying to live without God? And with your feet, are your plans focused on yourself and your track to success? And who cares if people get in the way? Or are you committing your plans to the Lord and letting him decide where you're going to go and what you're going to do and who you're going to be? And are we seeing people through the eyes of wants and self-gratification? You know, I'm teaching this Bible study on the Ten Commandments. A lot of the Ten Commandments have to do with our eyes eventually. Jesus says if you look at a woman, if you're a man and you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you committed adultery with her in your heart. And if you look and see someone that has something that you want but you can't have it, you might try to steal it. Or you might, what the Bible calls covet. Just the act of wanting what someone has. You're denying God his role of being your provider and giving you everything that you need. Because God loves us. Our eyes. See, all of these things, there are things about us where we're insecure. And sin causes us to blame people, to hide, to deny the truth. But Jesus is giving us an invitation when he says this. That before you experience capital punishment of judgment and causing a lifetime of harm to others and finding yourself isolated and alone, maybe hell before hell, that we can be connected and that we can be okay with ourselves and we can be honest with who we are, with our struggles, with our hurts, with our fears. And at the same time, some of us might be too hard on ourselves. I know I am. And we can begin to lean in on our strengths, knowing that our weaknesses can be picked up by other people who have those as strengths. That's what's the beauty of being in the church. We can rely on one another. We can bear one another's burdens. That's what we did this week. We bore one another's burdens and grief. And there were all these things to do, and the church stepped up, and I didn't have to worry about it. All I had to do was come and preach and be with the family. It taught me a lot about ministry. have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Salt. Have salt. We are going to be salted with fire, Jesus says. The fire of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring us through life, and there will be trials and temptations to face. But God wants us to be who we are. Not pretending to put on a good Sunday face. Not trying to be the textbook Christian that we see on TV. God wants us to be genuine and real and authentic. Every one of us has our own flavor. And Jesus will bring out the best in us. Here in the church, it's my prayer that we can be like a fish in water in ministry. Whatever ministry we find ourselves called to. We're all good at something. We all have something to give. We all have talents and gifts and different personalities. And it's a beautiful thing when we're all functioning in ways that are natural for us. That we can serve, whether we like to cook, or we like to visit people, or we like to build things, or we like to help people in a disaster. We have early response team trainings, opportunities that are coming up in October. And it would be great to have a busload of people to go over there so we can be trained and ready to help people in time of need when disaster strikes. And the nominations and leadership team has been praying and discerning. We've been learning about spiritual gifts. And we want to share that with the congregation. But we need people who are willing to have salt in yourselves and step up and serve in a way that you might be the best person for the job at the right time, but we haven't heard that you might have those gifts or opportunities. So maybe God's stirring something within you today, and you can share that with one of the nominations team's members and let them know, you know, I'm really good at this, and I think God could bless people through this, and I'd like to help. Or maybe we haven't done it before, and maybe we need to start something new. We can have salt in ourselves and be at peace with one another. We can be okay with ourselves, knowing that God loves us, that Christ forgives us, that Christ frees us from the guilt and shame of past sins and sets us free to live at peace and be at peace, to be free from the power and temptation of present sin, so that we can be focused on God and focused on one another, overflowing with the love of Jesus in our hearts. So at this time, I'm going to sing a song called Kindness. This prayer altar is going to be open to come and pray if you'd like. Or if you want to jot down in your bulletin, maybe there's something that God is doing in you. Maybe there's something that needs to be cut off. And this is an opportunity for that weakness to be given up to God. And instead of trying to do it on our own, we can live and let God. Or we can ask for help and lean in on each other and be there for one another. When we focus on others, it takes our focus away from ourselves. But it actually makes us be more present, and we become who we are instead of who we think we should be. So at this time, I'm going to sing and we're going to worship, but I invite you. Holy Spirit, come. May God bless you to be salt and light in this world, and may you be salted with the fire of the Holy Spirit to be genuine and real and authentic in your faith with your neighbors and your loved ones and your coworkers this week. In Jesus' name, amen.